Yo, it's time for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here's how, you know, there's not an easy answer. If there was, you know, there's, you know, every team in the league would try to snap their fingers. That's what every team wants, you know, is to get superstar players. So how do you do that? I think you've got to position yourself to be there when an opportunity arises. Now, when does that opportunity arise? Nobody knows, but we all do know at times they do arise. So there's three ways to do that. One, obviously, is the draft, and you've got to draft well. There's no certainty there. The second is free agency. You've got to position yourself where you have an opportunity in free agency. Doesn't mean it's always going to work out. And more times than not, guys stay with the team where they're at. The third thing is to build up your asset base so that when a guy becomes available, you're in a position to get him. And we're in the process of trying to do that, build up our asset base. And again, you don't know when that opportunity comes. Does it come tomorrow? Does it come 6 months from now? Does it come a year from now? Does it come 2 years from now? But if you're not in a position to take advantage, then it doesn't matter when it comes. And so that's obviously part of the thinking, you know, in building up the asset base. And we hope we've added a couple more pieces last night.
That's Gar Forman. That's how he looks at things, the general manager for the Chicago Bulls. As you are listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, we'll hear from Antonio Daniels, from the NBA champion, from SiriusXM NBA Radio, coming up in 7 minutes from now here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we broadcast live from our First Midwest Bank Studios.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's in my bank account. Yeah, in my bank account.
First Midwest Bank. Bank with momentum.
We'll also do Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We'll have that coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Reminding you, I've got tickets, the Progressive International Motorcycle Show at the Donnelly Stevens Convention Center. See the latest model from the top power sports manufacturers. For tickets and details, visit motorcycleshows.com. All kids 11 and under are free. The event takes place between February 15th and the 17th. If you want to go, stay by your listening device and how you can go. We'll give out tickets to the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour as well. I got four packs to give away before I'm done at 10 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So you heard from Gar Forman, and what all three of those, his points were salient. All three of those points he made were absolutely correct. But the Bulls aren't doing it. That's the only thing. It's quite the statement that he made there. But the point is that if you're not doing those things, it's just lip service. It's about execution. That's the fourth thing that should have been said. Like, execute on all three of those things. And the Bulls are just not doing that. And that's a whole issue. Some things that stood out to me today as far as the trade deadline is concerned. Again, we're going to hear from Antonio Daniels. We'll hear from Will Perdue as well and Bobby Marks about what happened on the trade deadline. But Nikola Mirotic to the Bucks. Milwaukee's trying to solidify themselves as the leader in the Eastern Conference. Here's a guy who's averaging 16 points a game, 8.3 rebounds, giving you about 3 or 4 threes a game. Because the Bucks love to be able to knock down shots from the outside in the Budenholzer system, I just think that just is another guy that can fit in well with the Bucks. It's a good pickup for them here at the deadline. The Anthony Davis saga, if you are just joining us, we mentioned in our last hour, from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.com. After considering the possibility of shutting down all-star center Anthony Davis to the Pelicans' plan to allow Davis back into the lineup for the rest of the season. Yeah, the Players Association was like, no, you're just not going to sit a healthy asset down. And he's not going to play because you couldn't trade him or you didn't want to trade him. So he will play for the Pelicans. So that is definitely going to happen. But this whole thing about Anthony Davis to the Lakers, this whole deadline, and the Lakers did not get their big fish. One thing about the Lakers that I do know is that it is about a 2-year process, because Magic Johnson talked about how it's a 2-year process for the Lakers to get where they want to be. The first year and the first process was trying to get LeBron James, and LeBron James came over. Now, Davis, being a clutch sports guy just like LeBron James is, that didn't happen today. Doesn't mean it can't happen soon or later on, but it didn't happen today. And I think that the Lakers are hoping that you can make that big splash today. If nothing else, this reveals that the Lakers are trying to give everybody. They're trying to trade everybody to try to get Anthony Davis. That still didn't work. It's almost like the Pelicans are trying to do that on purpose. Now, I know David Stern, the old commissioner, talked about how Dell Demps and that organization is trash and they're not very good. But, man, I'm going to tell you something. Apparently, they have the asset. They didn't have to trade him, and they didn't. But the Lakers, with all this, the reporting we heard, that you're trying to give away everybody. So that stood out to me. And the two-year process is true. So maybe Davis will be a Laker, but we'll keep our eyes on that. And as far as the 76ers, I think they're a better team. They're going to be competing for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. Simmons, Redick, Butler, Harris, and Embiid. Think about the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference. With Milwaukee, with Toronto, with Boston, Indiana with the Oladipo injury, Philly, and then Brooklyn's getting better. Charlotte. If I had another 30 seconds, I'd talk about Charlotte. Oh, no. If I only had another 30 seconds, I'd talk about Charlotte. Boy, you talk about a team that's going to be stuck for the next 5-6 years. They're going to re-sign Kemba Walker, and then they're just going to be like, okay, the next 5 years, let's do Kemba Walker again and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist again and just have the same guys, the same assets in the same spot in the Eastern Conference. Good job, Michael. Jordan is just – he is just terrible at that job. I remember like it was yesterday when Jordan retired, when he officially had retired. People were calling in on sports radio talking about Michael would be great as a GM for the Bulls. Give him a piece of the team. Let him be a – are you kidding me? I've had a call like that in years, and there's a reason why. I got empirical proof in Charlotte. What a disaster that is. Anyway, you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you are with me as we talk about the NBA, the trade deadline, what happened with the Bulls and everything else. We turn to an NBA champion. A host for SiriusXM NBA Radio, it is Antonio Daniels, and he's with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. AD, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Absolutely. So let's start here. I want to get you. We haven't talked since Anthony Davis said that he wanted out of New Orleans and wanted to trade. What was your initial reaction to what he was saying when he had his press conference?
My initial reaction was I didn't really understand the timing of it all. 10 days prior to the trade deadline, and if you go back a year ago, you see what happens when you ask for these trades in the summertime. Kyrie asked for the trade in the summertime, he gets moved to Boston. Kawhi Leonard asked for the trade in the summertime, he gets moved to Toronto. But when you ask with 10 days, it's almost like you're trying to strong-arm an organization into making a quick move. You know, so I get the thought process behind Anthony Davis. I get what he was thinking. I just question the timing of it from him and Rich Paul.
I'm wondering what the Pelicans will do now because there was no deal that took place. I'm wondering, right, will he ever play again in a Pelicans uniform? Will he just ride the bench for the rest of the season?
Like, here's my question. Here's my question, Jay Hood. How do you play him? You know, like, this is what I mean by the timing of it all. And sometimes your representation, and even you not really knowing or understanding what you're getting to as a player, you can put yourself in a really bad position. Mm-hmm. And this put Anthony Davis in a really bad position because the whole thought process was, we're going to make L.A. the front runners to land Anthony Davis. I get the thought process. But then there's another side of it. The other side is, what happens if the Pelicans don't trade Anthony Davis? Now what? So there are two sides of this whole thing. I completely understand the initial thought process. But you don't go out and try and strong-arm an organization without having an assured landing spot for Anthony Davis. And once you don't have an assured landing spot, now you're putting everybody in a difficult position. His teammates, fans, coaches, and the organization if he's not moved. And that's where they are now.
You know what? What's really funny, AD, is that in this whole process, and unless we get this confirmed, we'll never know. But on the surface, it looks like the Lakers, not only are they left holding the bag, it's empty, but they look kind of foolish. Right.
because all the reports, like, they were giving up the entire roster. And then when you have it confirmed from Adrian Wojnarowski and those that are in the know, and they get this long list of Lakers, like, all these guys are available, Lonzo, all these guys are available, and the Pelicans are just like, well, you know, I'll let you know if we want to make this deal or not. And clearly they did not. And so from the Lakers' standpoint, they look terrible today because they didn't get what they wanted, and two, it looked like all those guys were expendable.
Right, and now their locker room is splintered.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst part, because when you, everybody that's on that roster, everybody that, especially the younger guys, when you talk about Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart and Zubac and, you know, all these guys that you have, and you're basically saying, you know what, all you guys are available to be moved. You guys are probably going to get traded. So not only does that resonate now moving forward, even though nothing happened, what do you think that locker room is like? What do you think the temperament is like in that locker room now? Because your thought process may be, okay, we didn't get traded before February 7th, but we're probably not going to be here after next summer anyway. So now that really changes your thought process moving forward, especially as a young player. That's difficult, man. That's hard.
And I guess from if you're a young Laker player in that locker room, we already knew that LeBron wields power, AD, but it's just that Ed looks really powerful now. But also, he's going to get a lot of side eyes because, you know, LeBron and Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson are all working in concert together to try to figure out how to get this team in the right direction, and all those guys were suspects. All those guys were could have been traded, and it didn't happen. So that's bad on them. That locker room, you're right, is in a bad way right now, I think.
Right, and there were certain things that just weren't good looks for LeBron James and the Laker organization. You know, when LeBron is hurt and there's a game that's going on and you're standing in the huddle, I mean, in the tunnel, talking to Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, that's not a good look. That is not a good look. So now, as a player in the locker room, before you take the floor, the last thing that you all do is put your hands in together and say something. You know what, man? We abandon the brothers. Let's go out and trust one another. Now, when that is said, do you really think that everybody in that locker room believes that? Are we still abandon the brothers? Do we trust each other? Or do we trust one another to do what's best for this team? Even if that means moving me on. So I agree with you, Jay Hood. Now it's going to be a lot of side eyes in that locker room. And it could have a different effect. It had an effect in Indiana where you saw guys' hearts weren't there. Or guys could just get angry and just go out and play for themselves. You know, so who knows? Regardless, it's not a healthy situation currently in that Los Angeles Lakers locker room.
Antonio Daniels, studio host for the Thunder Live and Pelicans Live, and my colleague on SiriusXM NBA Radio with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You know, with Kevin Durant, you and I have had shows and we've had discussions about Kevin Durant in the past, and I'm still holding this opinion, AD, that, you know, I don't know why he's such a brooding superstar. I love Kevin Durant. I do. And I love his game because he's so unique, but you have to be able to handle the media and comport yourself in a way where, yes, I know there's a lot of spotlight on me. I know that free agency is coming up, but you know, if Antonio Daniels is in that spot, the one thing Antonio Daniels would say would be, talk to me at the end of the season. I'm focused on trying to win a championship now.
No question.
But
no
KD question. Loves the drama, man. He loves. But why? That's my question.
This is the part that I don't grasp about. And you know me, Jay Hood. I'm not the guy to be out there like, oh, you know what, back when I play. I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I struggle with this generation is, they have an opportunity to shut things down, and they choose not to. It's almost like they enjoy the drama. You know, last year, when Paul George was a free agent, now Kevin Durant being a free agent, and Kyrie Irving being a free agent, if you want people to stop asking you about free agency, stop taking and answering questions about free agency. The moment you stop answering questions about free agency, people will stop asking. If you just tell them, next question. You know, right now I'm focused on the team that I'm playing with and winning a championship here with this team, whether it's Golden State with Kevin Durant or Boston with Kyrie Irving. But when you say stuff like, well, I don't know, man, we're going to have to see what happens. Check with me on July 1st. It's like you're leaving the door open for more people to engage you on free agency talks. When you have all the power to shut down the talks by saying, I am not commenting on free agency. Right now, my focus is on the team that I'm playing on. Let's leave it at that. If you ask me about free agency, I will not entertain nor answer your question. But they don't choose to do that, and I don't grasp the concept why.
I just think that he just loves the drama. And here's the thing. It should be pretty obvious, because it's obvious for me from Klay Thompson's standpoint. I expect him to be with the Golden State Warriors next year. I think he wants to continue to try to win championships with KD. It's a mystery, and it really shouldn't be. You're in a championship situation. I'd hold on to everything possible to hold on to a championship situation and be happy with it, but he doesn't seem happy. So that's my whole
point. Yeah, but the thing is, it's okay to be a mystery. It should be a mystery. It was a mystery last year with LeBron.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that you have to be confident with, is understanding that, like Kyrie said, but in a different sense, you don't owe anybody anything. I don't have to tell you what I'm thinking as far as free agency is concerned. I can be thinking I'm going to New York. I can be thinking I'm staying in Boston. I can be thinking I'm staying in Golden State, but that's my business. That's my business. Mm-hmm. You know, so it being a mystery is probably better than anything else. But the more that you entertain these questions and then get upset when media members continue to engage you about these questions, even though you continue to give them what they want, I don't grasp it.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Chicago made a move as they sent Jabari Parker as well as Bobby Portis to Washington for Otto Porter. When I say Otto Porter, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, man, that's tough. Because I think Otto's a heck of a player.
Mm-hmm.
Max player, that's questionable. You know, he was a max player for Washington and his role there. But it remains to be seen what he's capable of doing. He was playing with one of the best guard combinations in the league, in John Wall and Bradley Beal. But we don't know what kind of player Otto Porter can be. We don't know what his potential is. But, you know, Chicago obviously saw something there. So that remains to be seen. There's nothing that really comes to my mind. What comes to my mind is the max contract. Because I remember having this conversation before he was paid. And if you're the Washington Wizards, do you max Otto Porter out? Because now you're killing a lot of your financial flexibility moving forward. And they chose to. And it kind of put them in a corner. So yesterday, what you saw from the Washington Wizards was, it's not the fact they didn't like Otto Porter as a person or as a player. It was more of a salary dump. Understanding, look, we need some sort of cap relief moving forward. And Otto Porter was the easiest contract to get rid of.
And from Chicago's standpoint now, Zach LaVine and that contract along with Otto Porter, AD, now that's almost 50% of your salary cap space. And I'm just trying to figure out, and I talked about this yesterday, and we're talking about it here tonight, just trying to figure out what the plan is for Chicago, because with this move, you've moved out of the top three, top four for the draft, so you're not going to get Zion or RJ Barrett or any of these other guys. So I'm just trying to find out what the plan is, because to me, if you think that Otto Porter is going to be a guy, now I know he was a piece with Beal and Wall, but now they're trying to give expectations to Otto Porter like he can be the man with Zach LaVine. That's still to be determined.
That's the issue that you run into. Mm-hmm. It's quite often, especially in the NBA, we equate a contract with production. So because Otto Porter is a max player, by financial purposes, people are going to want Otto Porter to average 25 points a game. That's not who he is. That's not who he is, and nor is that why Washington Wizards gave him a max contract. And you know what's funny, Jay Hood? You just said about the Chicago Bulls, I am wondering what the plan is moving forward. How long have you been saying that?
Since Jordan left.
Right. Right. There are a lot of teams in this league that are just kind of moving by the seat of their pants without a legitimate plan moving forward. And it's interesting to watch, because you can see Philadelphia has a plan. Philadelphia has a plan by the moves that they made, acquiring Tobias Harris, acquiring Boban, trading for Jimmy Butler and now acquiring Jonathan Simmons and James Ennis. They have a plan. The plan is in place as to what they are trying to accomplish. And there are a lot of teams right now that don't have a plan and are making what you would consider lateral moves.
Elton Brand's had more moves in a year than John Paxson had in 10 years.
Right.
I mean,
and more impactful moves in a year.
What do you think of Toronto making that move, AD, by having Marc Gasol on the team, trading Valanciunas? How much better is Toronto today as before compared to yesterday?
You know what? For me, I'm a big guy on chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And Valanciunas has been there. You know, he's been there. And Marc Gasol is extremely talented. And I think a lot of this has to do with how well does Marc Gasol blend in with Kyle Lowry, with Danny Green, with Kawhi Leonard. But bigger and more important, I think Masai Ujiri is trying to send a message to Kawhi Leonard that we are all in, trying to give you the help that you need to win now.
So do you believe that they are on the same wavelength, or have they surpassed Philadelphia from the moves that they've made?
For me, I thought Toronto was the best team in the East. I said that before the year started. I bet they were the best team in the East. And Philadelphia made some great moves, but Philadelphia hadn't had things figured out with Jimmy Butler yet. You know, it's still kind of in flux as where did Jimmy Butler fit? Because a couple weeks ago, he was upset about his role offensively. So now you're bringing in Tobias Harris, a guy who was the Los Angeles Clippers, not only leading scorer, but he led the Clippers in field goal attempts as well. So now basically what you're asking is four guys that are used to being the number one option. Maybe Ben Simmons, the number two option. You're basically asking guys to take one, two, and three steps backwards because they're going to play through Joel Embiid. After that, who are they going to play through? Are they going to play through Ben Simmons and ask Jimmy Butler to be the third option? And if Jimmy Butler is the third option, now you're asking Tobias Harris to be the fourth option. So it's going to take a lot of sacrifice for that chemistry to come together. But one through five, they have the best starting five, most talented starting five in the Eastern Conference.
AD, this is a serious question now because of how Sacramento has been playing so far in the first half as we get ready for the All-Star Week and then the L.A. Clippers as well. Are the Lakers, because of the lack of moves, are the Lakers a playoff team? Are they a top eight team by the time the regular season ends?
You know, Jay Hood, we had the show earlier in the year, and I told you I thought L.A. would be a 7, 8, or 9 seed.
Right.
7, 8, or 9. And now, you know, for me, a lot of it has to do with how well these young guys can put everything that just transpired in the last 10 days behind them, if they can. Because if they can put it behind them and continue to move forward and build on what they were doing prior to LeBron James' injury, yeah, they're definitely going to be a playoff team. But if this is a team, like you said, that is looking sideways at each other, looking sideways at LeBron, and understanding, you know what, dude, you don't really want me here. And then they can't get past what has transpired in the last 10 days, this team can easily fall out of the top eight.
Is it my TV or is Paul George an MVP candidate?
Oh, come on now. You already know that. You already know. You know it ain't your TV. Ain't nothing wrong with that flat screen, David. Yeah. Hey, he is performing. He is playing extremely well. And there's something to be said in this league for being comfortable. And what I mean by comfortable is now free agency is no longer an issue. He's not concerned with where he's going to spend the next 3 years of his career because he signed with Oklahoma City in the offseason. When I interviewed him this summer, one of the things he talked about is, I'll be more comfortable now than I possibly have ever been in my career because now I know my role, I'm playing with guys that I enjoy playing with, and now free agency is not an issue anymore. And you can see him. This is the most comfortable that Paul George has looked at any point in his career.
Yeah, I love watching them perform. It's what we saw from the Pacers, and you know what you were telling me about Russell Westbrook, where you said that he would still be able to be the Russell Westbrook that we are used to. But I see more of a give and take now because Paul George is really shining, and it works. It works well for them.
Right. And excuse me, Jay Hood. The Russell Westbrook that we're used to is the triple double Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's sitting on seven straight triple doubles. Yeah. This team has won 8 of 9. They're playing extremely well. But Russell Westbrook understands he does not have to be Superman every single night now. He doesn't have to get 50-point triple-doubles or 30-point triple-doubles. Right now, he's averaging a 20-point triple-double, and he has taken a step back as far as his usage rate is concerned. This is his lowest usage rate in the past decade. So he's allowing other guys to be who they are. Steven Adams is having a career year. Paul George is having a career year. Jeremy Grant is having a career year. Dennis Schroeder has fit in as a starting point guard that comes off the bench. And a lot of that has to do with Russell Westbrook's recognition and understanding that for this team to be as good as they can be, I don't need to be who I've always been. And he's taking a step back and allowing guys to flourish. And it's definitely benefiting this team.
Well, I tell you what, this trade deadline has been really interesting, AD. I'm looking forward to seeing what the second half brings, especially with the Bucks. They were able to get Mirotic. So that's going to add the extra shooting because, you know, all the Bucks do is shoot the ball from the outside and Giannis is able to dominate. So that's this Eastern Conference, as much as we focus on the Golden State Warriors being the best with really 5 All-Stars really on the floor at the same time, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston not doing anything but still standing pat and solid, and Philadelphia really interesting to me. Yeah.
Right. It's going to be I'm glad that the trade deadline is passed. You know, all the speculation of what may happen, what might happen, and, you know, people filling up your timeline with that trade kicker and trading this guy and trading that guy and trades that you know will never happen. It's nice to see the dust settle and see teams move on and start building for the last 20 or 30 games this year.
Well, if you see Alvin Gentry, give him a dap for me. This is tough times for him because unfairly he's going to get blamed, and he has nothing to do with this. All he's trying to do is coach the team and try to get better. And his superstar wants out, and he's not going to play. And that's bad for the fans because
it's bad for the fans. But I tell you what, right now, New Orleans is putting a team out on the floor that is competing. Anthony Davis or not. You know, Drew Holiday and Julius Randle, you know, and some of these young guys, Kendrick Williams and Frank Jackson, these young guys, now their number is being called, and they understand they're going to get consistent minutes. So it's good experience for them to build on. And this is one of the good things about coaching. Now the ego part, and this is no direct shot at Anthony Davis, because when all this stuff came out about Anthony Davis, the misconception is that he's selfish. Anthony Davis is a great dude. I don't care what is out there about him and his trade and him wanting to go to L.A. and so on and so forth. Anthony Davis is a great dude, plain and simple. But now if you're Coach Gentry, now you're coaching young guys that really just want to learn. They want to learn, they want the experience, and you know that they're going to go out there and compete.
AD, as always, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime, brother. Anytime, Jay Hood. Have a blessed one, man.
All right, thank you. It is Antonio Daniels, NBA champion, my colleague on SiriusXM NBA Radio with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, run that back. Give them the info they need. You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Poor Steve Lennox just wouldn't let the soundbite go. Just kept talking over it. Terrible. Glad you're with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hey, let me open the phone lines. If you want to go or if you want to win these tickets for someone, call now. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. The Progressive International Motorcycle Show at the Donnelly Stevens Convention Center. See the latest models from the top power sports manufacturers. For tickets and details, visit motorcycleshows.com. That's motorcycleshows with an S, .com. Again, it's between February 15th and the 17th. If you want to go, be the fifth caller on the line, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. I'll hook you up with a 4-pack for the motorcycle show that's going to take place at the Donnelly Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Caller 5, we'll hook you up with tickets. Tales from the Hood, next.
I tried to show.
You're listening to my mans and them, Jay Hood.
Yep.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
I tried to show.
ESPN app.
Yeah, gone on you with the pick and roll. Younger flame, he in sicko mode.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Yeah!
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Chicago's Big Ten team at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on Wednesday, February 13th, as they host Rutgers at 6 p.m. Buy tickets at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. You know, Felix, my favorite thing. My favorite thing when I come to work, when we're here at our in our First Midwest Bank Studios, is when there's a guy in the cold and it's snowing now on Staten Lake, where a guy is there and he's all bundled up and he's trying to talk to me through two things of glass here. Not just one thing, like two things of glass.
Yes.
I can hear what you're saying with the wind howling and like two panes of like strong, whatever glass this is, right? And he's trying to give me his thoughts on something. Like, sir, you got a scarf on. I don't even know what you're saying. I can't even see you moving your mouth. And he's like moving his hands around and trying
very
to explain
animated.
Something to me. It's just amazing to me. Like, what, dude, I don't know what you're saying. It's amazing.
It is. Well, he loves your show. That's one thing.
That's great. We should be upstairs. Should be in the radio studio upstairs. If
like, no one can see us.
It's just kind of funny. Like, I wish I could be able to help him, but I can't help him if he's... Anyway.
Yeah.
Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Let's take a look at some of the stories here. And by the way, we're going to hear from Will Perdue coming up at 9:10. He's got his thoughts on the Bulls and the NBA coming up at 9:10 in our NBA trade deadline special. Of course, we're going to take a few moments out to see what's going on in the world. Like Provo, Utah. Perfect. Utah man hears burglar in home, fights him off with a barbecue fork. So a Provo man is sharing how he was able to fight off a burglar with nothing but a barbecue tool. Landon Lendingham was watching his parents' house while his family was on vacation when he caught the would-be thief in the act and chased after him. I was just really angry. He would have had the audacity to break into our house and steal our stuff. And I just wanted to stop him, said Lendingham. It was just after midnight Tuesday, and London thought he was the only one in the house until he heard footsteps upstairs. In that moment, I thought, okay, I think someone is in the house. So Lennon grabbed the first thing he saw, a long carving fork. I came up the stairs right here, and I checked this way because I thought I heard footsteps. I looked this way. The burglar then ran to the back door. He chose to fight, and I chose the fight. I saw him run down the steps, so I pursued him down the steps. We both slipped in the mud a little bit, and then his shoes flew off. And then I took him in my arms. No.
We need music for that. Special music for that.
And his shoes flew off, and I took after him. And he goes on to talk about how he got that barbecue tool, starting to push the tool into the guy's chest.
That's rough.
There you go.
Just trying to picture that. Yeah.
Now, the end of the story is that the burglar, he ran off. And so the police are still looking for him. But they're looking for someone that ran away like a stuck pig with a barbecue tool stuck in his chest.
Yeah, exactly.
As he runs away. That's probably the guy.
Should be easy to find.
So there you go. I mean, what the very well written story, by the way.
Yes.
Just like the what I decided to do because that man had the audacity to come into my home in Provo, Utah. New Orleans, Louisiana. New Orleans police say a man entered a fast food restaurant and tried to swipe some cash but couldn't open the register. So he made off with some fried chicken instead. My man. Why not get yourself a 10-piece if you can't get $100 out of the register?
Yep.
That's what I always say. I always said it here. This is my first time saying it, but this is what I always say.
So we'll record that and play it back at some point this year.
That's what I always say, even though this is the first time I've ever said it.
First time, February 7th, 2019.
But, you know, taking money, you know, taking your chicken instead of money, that's what I always say.
Hey, that works.
NOLA.com. In the Times-Picayune, reports that the man entered the Popeyes, of course, New Orleans, in eastern New Orleans on Monday morning and tried to steal money from the register. But police say the register wouldn't budge, so he grabbed some fried chicken and fled. Police eventually arrested 27-year-old Philip Lee a short time later in the area. He faces charges of simple robbery and simple battery. His bond. What do you think his bond is for stealing chicken? You didn't get the money, but he stole chicken. What do you think? Before I tell you the number, how much you think the bond is in New Orleans for stealing chicken?
I would hope it's not high. I mean, I'm gonna go with $100.
He did steal his people property.
Okay, so $250.
$13,500.
Wow.
$13,500.
Wow. I was nowhere near that amount. Jesus.
$13,500.
Wow.
Keep in mind, Felix, you got to remind me as my executive producer. Always, you got to send me this text message every day. Jonathan, comma, do not steal the chicken.
Do not steal the chicken. Gotcha.
It's your job.
Yep, I got you.
Do not steal the chicken, sir. Because you can be out of $13,500 quickly. Can't steal money, but I'm going to steal the chicken. All right. Felix, what do you have? You got anything over there?
Yeah, I do. Well, before I get there, you were talking about fried chicken, and the first thing I thought of, I don't know if you heard, but Jabari Parker yesterday, after he got traded, was asked, what's his first thing that he's going to do after the trade, or where he's heading to right now? He says, I don't know. My first stop will be at Harold's.
Perfect.
So how about that? Perfect exit out of Chicago. Good stop, right?
Here's the thing about Jabari Parker. He just fit in. Just standing in line at Harold's. He probably went over here like to my Matson. I don't see it. Would he be on? Would he be at 79th and King? I'm trying to think. Because he would just fit in, just another tall,
nobody
black dude.
Would know. Ask him if he got traded or not.
No.
Hey, what you having?
I'm not even sure if they know it's Jabari Parker.
I just think
just be a tall black dude, just like, yo, can I get that quarter dark? gizzards.
Mild.
Can I get that with mild sauce? Put down the poll at ESPN 1000. How much do you enjoy? Do you enjoy mild sauce? Yes or no?
Okay.
Because that is a disconnect for some.
Like, yeah.
Why is there mild sauce? Mm-hmm. Why is there such a thing? All right. What else?
All right. So armed teens arrested at a Metro bank calls Uber to get away. An Uber driver says he was feeling lucky after a seemingly normal ride request led him to a scene swarming with police. Tuesday afternoon, multiple officers reported to MidFirst Bank on North May Avenue.
Wait a minute. Where was this?
MidFirst Bank.
It's the way banking is supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Okay. MidFirst Bank on North May Avenue. Also called that scene was Uber driver Brandon Case. He was another Uber driver dropped off. His would-be passenger then called the police. Three teenagers told the calling party that they had a gun. They walked into a bank, said they were about to get popped. A dispatcher could be heard saying after that first driver alerted them, I turned the corner and came up on MidFirst Bank, and all I see are cop cars, said Case. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not normal. Oklahoma City police haven't released the identities of the people involved, nor have they outlined what happened with the individuals that walked into the bank. Case thinking he was waiting for his would-be passenger, he says he saw three people handcuffed and put into cop cars. That, he said, is when an officer walked across the street to talk to him. What an odd scenario. I actually did Uber. I was an Uber driver for a few months prior to working here. Yep, I did that for like about 4 months. I did it right before I started working here. Did it for like 3 or 4 months. And all I remember was coming back home and having just tons of stories. All the stories usually came right around the Wrigleyville area, around like after 10 p.m. You had nothing but drunk people on a Friday night in your car. Stories were crazy. Never got anywhere near and close to a story like this. This is awesome. Because you're not getting in trouble for this, but you're picking up three crazy dudes who just robbed a bank. What a story to come back home to, right? Like, yeah, I was the driver to a little bank theft. Yeah.
Oh,
that was me. Yep.
Isn't that something?
That is. So how's his rating after that?
Yeah. I always like to know what his rating was after that.
That's important.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Probably solid, actually. probably pretty good. And that, my friends, is Tales from the Hood, a Thursday edition here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Don't forget, we're going to hear from Will Perdue. Will's got a lot of thoughts on the Bulls. Some things that he says to me, he probably doesn't say on television as often. I think you got to look forward to this coming up at 9:10.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, run that back. Give them the info they need.
Who knows?
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I know it's Thursday, and I know 9 o'clock is approaching. We will not be doing
the throwback.
No throwback Thursday at 9 o'clock. But we'll do it next Thursday. Right now, this is our NBA trade deadline special here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll hear from Will Perdue coming up at 9:10. Bobby Marks at 9:35 as we talk about what the Bulls did and some of the other teams around the NBA. How this all affects Chicago. We're talking about it right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You know, it's interesting. There's no doubt, as we talked about in our first hour, that the NBA is based on dynasties. It's about dynasties. It's not about this team wins this year, this team wins next year. It's about dynasties. And the thing that really attracts me to the NBA is the chase, right? Some of you think that the Golden State Warriors are the bad guys. I don't see them as guys that with black hats. I think it's a dominant team with five all-stars on the floor at the same time. And what's intriguing to me when I watch them is, wow, they're great, but who can beat them 4 games out of 7? And maybe it's not going to happen this year. Maybe it happens the next few years, whatever. But that's the team to beat. So if the Warriors are number one, who's the second best team in the NBA? I can look at the hierarchy of the Western Conference and give you Denver. And Denver is very fundamentally sound. I love what Jokic brings to the team. I think that defensively they are pretty good. But it's not them. It's not Oklahoma City for me, even though Paul George, we talked to Antonio Daniels earlier. Paul George, the old Indiana Pacer, solid. He's more as impressive to me as Russell Westbrook. Not more, but as impressive. To the point where if I had a choice of MVP candidate between the two, I give it to Paul George because I think he's had a terrific first half. Portland. Portland is always going to be in the mix or around the playoffs. They might be first running out, but at least they're going to try because of Lillard and McCollum. The Houston Rockets start off really slowly, and really the star of that team continues to be James Harden. But if, again, I'm asking you who's number two if the Warriors are number one, I got to give the Bucks full credit. Here's what I don't want to see. If I'm going to put all my chips in the middle of the table about the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo, do not be a first or second round exit. Don't be a first round exit. Don't be like the Budenholzer Atlanta Hawks teams in which they were so good, over 60 wins. That team was stacked. And I saw them. I said, that team's not getting past LeBron. That team is not going to be able to get to the mountaintop. The Bucks are very good. Are they so good that they can be the second best team in the NBA? I think the acquisition, the trade today of Nikola Mirotic helps their shooting. They already were terrific. The question I had about the Bucks coming into the season is, outside of Giannis and maybe Middleton, who else can be able to shoot the basketball? Well, because of the Budenholzer system, all those guys are able to shoot threes and shoot for a high percentage. So it's a fun watch, the Bucks. The Toronto Raptors making their move today would be number three on my list. The Raptors, the reason why they're three and not two, there is some kind of issue. It's an issue between Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard. There's some wins where Leonard is playing and Lowry is not. It's an odd situation. When they're both on the floor together, there are some issues there as far as chemistry. It's not saying it's bad, but it's not as fluid. I do have some numbers to back that up that I have that I forgot to bring. But indeed, there is some issues there. It's good, but it's not smooth. And then they trade Valanciunas today, the big center, and Marc Gasol, a seasoned veteran from the Memphis Grizzlies, now plays for Toronto. They can only solidify what they do because Valanciunas shoots threes, but Marc Gasol shoots a ton more threes than Valanciunas does. So it's interesting. The Boston Celtics are right there at number four, and the Philadelphia 76ers at five. I'm saying that now, but I think that the Sixers have the arrow pointing up. Look at that lineup with Jimmy Butler. the Tobias Harris move took place because they're not sure if Jimmy Butler is going to be around next year. So at least they have solidified a solid player in Tobias Harris on that roster. So to me, when I look at the hierarchy of the NBA, if the Warriors are one, I think there are four teams in the East you could say it could be 2 through 5. Of course, all of them can't win the NBA championship. That's only going to the Golden State Warriors. But the point is that when we talk about the Eastern Conference, oh, the East is weak, the East is the least. Nope. They have the up-and-coming stars, and they are trying to gear up for the future. Some positivity coming out of the Eastern Conference. As you're listening to Under the Hood.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Right? J-Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.